presence in me in the silence. I see you looking out from every face. You fill me with your glory. I feel the warmth of your embrace. I gratefully surrender to your grace. I feel your presence in me in the silence. I see you looking out from every face. You fill me with your glory. I feel the warmth of your embrace. I gratefully surrender to your grace. I feel your presence in me in the silence. I see you looking out from every face. You fill me with your glory. I feel the warmth of your embrace. I gratefully surrender to your grace. I feel your presence in me in the silence. I see you looking out from every face. You fill me with your glory. I feel the warmth of your embrace. I gratefully surrender to your grace.
So let's take a few minutes now in meditation. I advise you to close your eyes if you like and just relax. And if you're new to meditation, it's nothing more than getting quiet and turning inside to the part of us that's soft and quiet and pure and sacred. So let's just breathe. Breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in. And as we breathe in, we feel that presence. And that presence is the very Spirit of God that is outside of us and around us, but is inside of us. It's everywhere. And in meditation, what we do is we connect with that presence. We connect with the very Spirit of God that thrills us. That moves us. It helps us realize that each of us is more than we ever thought. The very Spirit of God is calling to us from deep within us. And we understand that when we connect with that Holy Presence, that unconditional love is ours. That we are filled with peace. We're filled with a gentle joy. And we are filled with the forgiveness and the grace of the Spirit of God. Breathing in. And we understand how transcendent we are. And let's take that transcendent awareness into the silence where we can simply be with the Spirit of God filling us up in the silence. Spirit of God, you move us. You remind us of who we have always been. The very expression of the Spirit of God. The very expression of that sacred presence. And so it is, God. So it is. Namaste.
I feel your presence in me, in the silence. I see you looking out from every face. You fill me with your glory. I feel the warmth of your embrace. I gratefully surrender to your grace. I feel your presence in me, in the silence. See you looking out from every face. You fill me with your glory. I feel the warmth of your embrace. I gratefully surrender to your grace.
It's weird, isn't it? We never know. It's meditation. Are we supposed to clap? Go ahead. Give a nice clap. And actually, the reason was that I was thinking about a nice round of applause was I was just kind of enjoying the words, had my eyes closed. I glanced up at the words, and I saw, by Mark Wilson. So, I mean, isn't that cool? I mean, he wrote that himself. I think that's very interesting. Very nice. Hi. I think I already mentioned that doing Advent this month, and so the theme for today is peace. And I thought, I like to share some trivia sometimes. So the concept, the idea of Advent started in about the 300s and started in France. They used these Advent candles and the different themes as a way of preparing for the Epiphany. And I know we've probably heard that word before, the epiphany, but we might be a little unclear on exactly what the epiphany is. And so the epiphany is when the magi, the three wise men. I say the three because there's no mention in the Bible of how many there were. And somehow three became a comfortable number. Although in paintings and in stories and in sacred texts, there's been as many as 12, there's been as many as 15. But hey, we're doing three. And so the idea of the Epiphany is that's the day when the three magi arrived and to see the birth of the Christ child. And so here's your real trivia for the day. The 12 days of Christmas, that's the number of days between December 25th and when they arrived on January 6th. Ooh, right? Magi is probably a better term than wise men because magi meant they were kind of astrologers, they were kind of magicians. That's where magic or magicians come from is the magi. Well, I thought with this theme of peace, I just thought it made sense to say that as we look with the idea, as we look at the world, as we look at ourselves, as we look at the different situations in which we find ourselves, I think what we want to do is we want to try and look with the heart and the mind and the eyes of God at ourselves, at each other, at different situations. If you think of God, whatever your image is of God, whether you think it's a person, whether you think it's a man with a long white beard, long white hair that looks amazingly Northern European. If you think it's more of a concept or a principle, here's what nobody ever thinks of when they think of God. Nobody ever thinks of God as somebody who is stressed out. Yeah. Nobody is ever thinking of God as somebody who goes, oh, God, what am I supposed to do next? We don't think that way, and the reason we think that way is because, again, whether we think a principle or whether we think some sort of super person, we just sort of think that, oh, somehow the Spirit of God must be at peace. Somehow the Spirit of God has a bigger perspective, has a broader perspective, is able to kind of understand that in spite of the stuff going on right now, there's peace at its core. And when we understand that, we say, oh, the happenings that we see with our world, the divisiveness that we see, the particular events, that's just stuff. And it has nothing to do with the reality that rests behind appearances and illusions. So we light the candles, and we sing the songs, and I talk the talk because one of our goals is to think and to feel and to see with the eyes of peace. To look at those neighbors that irritate us, to look at other car drivers, to take a look at signage we don't like. We look at that and we say, what can I do to see with peace and feel with peace and experience with peace? What can I do to bring peace to different situations and to different people? Because I think the Spirit of God ends up seeing the truth in challenging times. I mean, think about some of the most demanding times we've had when someone we love has passed away. When a spouse comes home one day and says, I want a divorce. When a child dies. And that's not supposed to happen because kids aren't supposed to pass before we do. God's eyes see the truth behind every situation, behind every person. So we have this peace candle, and it is a symbolic representation of what we're after. Are we there yet? No, I can't speak for you, of course, but I know I'm not there. Try to do a little bit better each day, and I'm sure you do too. As I mentioned last week, I do better when the Seahawks win. Yeah, what we want to do is we want to learn to look at everything with the eyes of God, with the eyes of peace and the eyes of love. It's one of the highest purposes of our entire spiritual journey, this pathway that we're on. And so I think it makes sense from time to time for us each to quiet down. Even when we're really angry, for us to quiet down, and when we're feeling really ticked off or something's just moved us and it's the wrong way, we want to move to peace, because peace is that state of our mind and our heart and our soul and our spirit. It is that consciousness of everything together that sees the truth of each person. Got somebody bugging you? Got somebody who just rubs you the wrong way? Take that deep breath in and see. I wonder if I can see the truth behind them. I wonder if I can see the love that maybe they don't know how to express, or, and this is the hard one, maybe they're expressing it just fine and we don't get it. We want to learn to look at everything with the eyes of God, with the heart of God, with the soul of God. Because we take a look at the nature of what peace is, and it is that condition of the mind, it is that condition of the heart that reminds us of who we really are, and it reminds us of who you really are. All the people in our family, all the people sitting here right now, the nature of peace is, well, it's just something that moves us in ways that we can hardly understand. When what we do is when we seek to understand peace. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes for a sec. And as you close your eyes, I want you to just breathe that in. Just breathe in that idea of peace. And just sit with it for 5 seconds. I'll invite you to close or to open your eyes now. And what I would say is that in this room, in your family, with the people that we meet, here's something to keep in mind. Peace is contagious. When you're really working at it, when you're really trying to feel it, when it becomes a part of who you are, when you go deep inside, peace is contagious. And I think at least part of what that means is that you can bring peace to other people. You can bring peace to different situations. And I think when you really experience someone who seems filled with grace or joy or peace, I think it kind of goes in two stages. I think the first time you meet them, and they seem really at ease with themselves, comfortable in their own skin, filled with joy, I think the first time you meet them, you go, they're so phony. I mean, that's not even real. And then if you don't lock it out, if you keep with them, and you meet them on more than one occasion, and it doesn't change, and you start saying, I think that's real. I think that's who they are. That's when you get it. Oh, peace is contagious. And I think when you meet somebody like that, you go, don't you want a little piece of the action? Don't you want that to kind of spill over in you when you meet somebody who's really doing it? Peace is contagious, and that's when it starts spreading to other people. That's when it calms down different situations. That's when you have that uncle at Christmas dinner who knows everything and is very loud about it. That's when you bring them peace. In 1990, the American Psychological Association declared peace psychology as one of their newest endeavors. It was the 48th discipline within psychology that they added. And if there's a part of you that thinks, well, that sounds a little too woo-woo to me. I get that. You know, my peace psychology sounds a little airy-fairy, right? Except then if you looked at Matthew 24 in the Bible, you'd find Jesus saying, you will always hear rumors of war, and there will always be actual war going on. Yeah. And I don't know what the answer is to that kind of conflict, but maybe if there's some discipline that can understand the principles of peace and can understand the players involved in conflict and could bring peace to different situations, maybe that's not too bad. Because I think as a human race, somehow we've got to get beyond the idea that, oh, conflict, war, that's just normal. That's just what happens. Wow. What a tough situation it is when we accept that. When we just start saying, well, that's the way it is. Don't get too upset about it. Get upset about it. And then once you've gotten upset about it, then bring the principles of peace to it. Because I think if there's something we can do, if there's some principles we can learn, if there's some actions we can take that stops killing, that calms the rage down, that's a pretty good investment of our time. That's a pretty good investment of our intellectual processes and our emotional processes to see. Peace psychology, huh? Wonder what that really means. So I invite you all to Google it, you know, sometime later today. And the reason I do that is because I think searching for peace and the act of peace, I think that's a very bottom line thing to do. Yep, it's time, yeah. So if you take a look up here in Europe, Here is the country of Liechtenstein. And here's a close-up. The reason I asked Brian to find me a map of Europe that had that highlighted so we could look at it, so we could see how small it is. Let me give you, don't move that on, but let me give you the numbers. The military budget for the United States is $850 billion in 2025. The military budget for China, $471 billion, which is double from the year before. And the military budget for Russia is estimated to be $140 billion, but it's only an estimation because they're not keen on releasing those figures. And here's the reason that I asked Brian to find this map. You look right there. The military budget for Liechtenstein for 2019, for 2020, for 2021, for 2022, for 2023, for 2024, and their proposed budget for 2025, their military budget, is zero. Yeah. And so the reason that I asked Brian to find that is because, guess what? They have the highest standard of living in the world. They have high wages. They have high health insurance. And I'm not doing anything political stuff. I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat or a hawk or a dove. That's not my point. My point is peace is a very bottom line oriented thing to do. When you're not spending money on defense, you get to have the highest standard of living in the world. You know, I mean, it doesn't get much more bottom line oriented than that. So, I mean, I just think that's incredibly cool. So if that's useful for you or meaningful for you, or just as you're thinking about the music from today and the words of today, just keep this in mind as it deals with peace. God is still writing your story. Don't take the pen away. It's not your call. Everything that's happened in your life up to this very moment, right now, everything is just prologue. The past is prologue. Everything about you up to this moment can be summarized in a sentence or two. I'm like, oh no, really? Yeah. Because what counts is what you do from this moment on. What counts is what you do in terms of bringing peace and bringing love to people and to situations. And here's what I want to leave you with. And by the way, I got this from Carolyn Harris. Because Amber and David got ordained last Monday. Carolyn got up to talk a little bit, and she said something that I just loved. So I called her a couple nights ago and said, hey, I wanted to steal this stuff from you. Is that okay? And she just laughed and said, sure. And here's what she said. God has chosen you to be you. Think about that for a sec. Play with that for a second. God has chosen you to be you. And here's the sense I made out of it. Let's imagine that right here is kind of a silhouette. And it says, you. And it's just this sort of empty figure, but it's you. And that you, right there, is needed in the world. that you, with all of its potential skills and knowledges and relationships and mistakes and dumb things that they've done and all the good stuff, that's what's needed. It is a piece of the puzzle. And here you are sitting over here, and God says, I have chosen you to be you. I've chosen you to use your skills and your abilities and your intelligence and your mistakes. And I've chosen you to be you. Because if you will be you, you're going to bring peace to the world. If you will be fully you, you're going to bring so much healing to the world, so much love to the world. So stop trying to pretend that you're something you're not. God, I don't know about you, but I've spent years pretending I was something that I wasn't. I like me more now. I like it when you're real. I like it when I'm real. And to be real means to use the skills and the abilities. And if there's a piece of you that says, well, yeah, but I don't know if I'd be very rich if I did that. Yeah. Well, maybe that's not your journey this time. Your journey is the same journey it's always been, which is to be you. So, Carolyn, thank you very much. I love that phrase. I'm going to play with that more and more. Give her a hand. And the last thing I'll leave you with is this. When you start becoming you, you will bring peace to your world. You will bring peace to your family. You will bring peace to you. And so it is. Amen.
Glad to know I can be me now. The song is written by Peter Mayer. It's called Holy Now.
I was a boy each week. Sunday we would go to church, pay attention to the priest, and he would read the holy word and consecrate the holy bread, and everyone would kneel and bow. Today the only difference is everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. When I was in Sunday school, we would learn about the time Moses split the sea in two, and Jesus made the water wine. And I remember feeling sad that miracles don't happen still. But now I can't keep track, 'cause everything's a miracle. Everything's a miracle. Wine from water is not so small. The challenging thing becomes not to look for miracles, but finding where there isn't one. When holy water was rare at best, it barely wet my fingertips. Now I have to hold my breath. It's like I'm swimming. heaven second-rate hand-me-down. Now I walk it with reverent air, 'cause everything is holy now. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. Read a questioning child's face. Another new morning come, say it's not a sacrament. I tell you that it can't be done. This morning outside I stood, I saw a little red-winged bird shining like a burning bush, singing like a scripture verse. Made me want to bow my head. I remember when church let out. Oh, how things have changed. 'Cause everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy. Everything is holy now. 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 Now sing it like you mean it. Everything is holy now. Softly. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Last time. Everything is holy now.